Well, once again, we are glad that you are worshiping with us today. It is a treat today that we have one of my friends, one of friends of many of you, and one of our missionaries sharing today. 20 years ago, if you knew Larry Good, you'd know him as a successful businessman in town. He'd owned several successful businesses, and his last one that he sold before he left was a B&B, the Ocean House Inn, on the bluff at the end, right just off of whatever street that is. But anyways, Larry went down to Peru to with a another guy in town and was doing work with orphans, and the Lord so impacted him that he sold his business, went down and started working with widows and orphans and a lot of other underprivileged and overlooked and unnoticed individuals in Peru. If you know anything about Larry, that I know about Larry is two things. One is that he has a heart larger than life. And he is a father to many of those orphans. When I had gone down there a few times, I was humbled. I was instructed. I was encouraged to be a better father just to see how Larry connected with these kids and shepherded and parented these kids. A man who's never married. He has three sons of his own now, Peruvian sons, Santiago, Kevin, and Pacho. Let's welcome up Larry Good.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank Pastor David and Karen for having me back here, and it's just such a joy to be back here in Homer. I love it so very, very much, and thank you guys for having me. I also was looking around the church this morning and looking at so many people from Vernon, his wife that's gone on to heaven, Val, and the Beachies and the Beckers. And there's so many of you guys that John and Joyce Williams that were the backbone of this church long before many of you came, you know. And I know there's a lot more of you out there this morning that are part of that group that came here. And so I just want to honor you guys. Vernon has got the same heart as I did. He left Homer for the mission field, and so I'm just very honored to be his friend. He and I stay in contact. We're in different parts of the world, but bless all of you guys. I want to introduce my boys to you this morning. One's clear in the back. You can wave your hand, Kevin. And then Santiago, if you'd stand up there. These are my boys from Peru this morning. And so we came all the way from Peru, and I got here on time, and Sheldon, you were 15 minutes late to church this morning. I don't understand what... I don't know how you got that young son of yours married. He's such an ugly kid, you know, but you must have paid her off, I guess, or something. I don't know. Congratulations to the Beachies on this. Hey, guys, I know a lot of you don't know me, and I did leave here almost 20 years ago. I was eating lunch yesterday at Captain Patty's, and I used to own that, and I sold it to Patty and her husband, John. And I was sitting there eating, and I was thinking about my office was upstairs, where I think their office still might be upstairs. But one day, I was there, and of course, it's July, and we're busy and getting ready to go. But before I would start each day, I would spend time with the Lord. And I was getting ready to go on a mission trip to Romania. And I was upstairs there, and I was thinking, oh, why am I going on a mission trip to Romania in July? You know, this is not a good idea. And I literally flung my Bible open, and I looked down, and it's like these words lifted off the page. It said, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go. And I was just like, well, I guess I'm going to Romania. And there I went. And so what happened in Romania was a big heart change. And it never left me. Even coming back here to Peru, it never left me. And so one day the phone rang. By then I'd sold the restaurants, and I owned a beautiful inn the Ocean House Inn. And Vern, that was just one building further than where you stopped at yesterday. He stopped and left me some fish at, well, I better not say anything. So anyway, but we have a beautiful inn over there. And one day the phone rang and it was Pastor Darren Williams. And he said, hey, we're going down to Peru. Would you like to go? And I'm like, yeah, I would like to go. And within 30 minutes, I had my ticket booked, and off we went down to Peru. I had no idea what it was about. I had a really good life here. I was making a lot of money. In fact, I was spending most of my winter in Hawaii and then the rest of the time up here in Alaska. So I had a very, very good life. And but one day, I got down there, and wham, bam, did God ever get a hold of my heart. So there was a big calling on my life. If God wouldn't have called me, trust me, I would have been back here a long time ago, but I've been there 19 years, and I'm still as happy now as when I first went down there. But I got down there, and I'm going to take a real quick drink of water here, please, just a second here. Thanks. Thanks, David. I got down there, and I was just expecting to do a two-week mission trip and then come back home. And little did I know how God was going to grab my heart. And he grabbed my heart basically through the book of Acts. So I'm going to tell you about two of the miracles that I saw while I was in Peru. There were many, many, many. I could stand up here for hours and tell you about the things I've seen. But I'm going to tell you about two of them that God really grabbed my heart. So we're out working with the poor, and we come back in, and we're going to go downtown Lima and pray for people. And I was not too happy about that. Even though I was a believer, I was kind of like, you know, I've seen miracles. I've been a believer all my life, but I've seen miracles, you know, here and there. And generally, I would talk myself out of the one I had seen previous by the time the next one happened. So we're there. And Jordan Hess, I don't know if any of you know him, but he was there. And Jordan would get up on the highest box he could and just start saying, Jesus loves you. He's going to save you. He wants to heal you. And he's out there, and all these people, hundreds of people are listening to him. And I'm in the background. I just got my arms crossed, and I'm hoping he doesn't see me. But he sees me, and he points his eyes. Looks, I could tell he locked in on me. And he said, Larry, come up here. There's a lady, and she's had a stroke, and she wants you to pray for her. So the night before, I was reading in Elijah about the prophets of Baal. And most of you know that story, but when it was Elijah's turn to get up and pray, he prayed, and what happened is that fire fell down from heaven. And instantly, everything was washed away, and the people of Israel knew who God was. Now, that was 20 years ago, and I still remember reading that story. So I go up there to this lady, and she's had a stroke, and she's just dead on this side of her face, completely dead. Very beautiful. She's 40 years old, and she's okay on this side. And I remember thinking, why am I not praying for somebody with a headache? But this is what I said. I said, Father, why don't you show all these people around here who you are? And I said, and while you're at it, why don't you show me? It's exactly my words to him. And I instantly saw her face change from here to there. It just went back to just like nothing had ever happened. That was the first miracle I'd seen. The next night, we went in. We're at a different location. And this kid came up to me, and he had this eye, and it was infected, and it had blood clots in it, and it was swelled, and it had junk running down his face. And he told me this. He said, I don't believe in Jesus. I think this is all foolishness, but I'm going to lose my eyesight, and I drive a taxi. So you can see I'm going to lose my livelihood. And I think if you'll just pray for me, it's what I have to lose. And I remember cuffing my hand over his eyes because I didn't want to get some junk on my face. And on my hands, and I put it over there, and instantly, man, I his face was cleaned up, his eye went back to normal, the blood clots were gone, everything, and this kid looked at me, and he said, I said to him, I don't know if you know it or not, but I just saw a miracle, and he said, tell me about Jesus. He knew he'd been touched. So these are two of the many, 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 many miracles I saw for a two-week period. And I'm going to close today with telling you about a miracle that just happened to me that I told David and Karen last night. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that God grabbed my heart in such a big way that it was years later, I was walking down having a conversation with the Lord, and I asked him, why did you choose me to come down here to Peru to change all these kids' lives? And he said, I didn't bring you down here to change their lives. I brought you down here to change yours. Now, I want you to think about that. I was probably just like you out there, thinking I'm doing everything I need to do for God. I'm writing the checks. I was the guy who writes the checks. I went to church. I love the Lord. I opened up my Bible every morning. But he wanted to do something even more. So I'm not here to be hard on you. I'm just here to tell you that's what happened to me. And don't ever get to the point that you don't think that God doesn't want to change your life, because he does. So anyway, I'm going to show you a quick video. And this video was actually done for December, so it's a little off by a few months, but it'll get you started. And then I'm going to show you what we do down there, and I'll be pretty quick this morning. So if you would show that video, please. Thanks. It's so hard for me to believe, but it's been almost 18 years since I first stepped into Peru. It was supposed to be a two-week mission trip that turned into a life of helping and ministering to the poor. For years and years, we have helped orphans and the poor, working out of old rented buildings, just hoping that someday that we could have something to call our own, something the kids would be so very proud of.
All my needs you have supplied. When I was dead, you gave me life. How could I not give it away so freely? And I'll follow you into the homes of the broken. I'll follow you into the world. I'll meet the needs for the poor and the needy, God. I'll follow you into the world.
This wonderful dream has came true for the community in this area. But you see, the slums, they go on for miles and miles. So we're wanting to use this building as a template to build a second building, a third building, and a fourth. These centers are used in many ways, but to me, it's simply a tool to reach the poor with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get tired of doing what is good. You see, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. My son Kevin reminded me of this, that none of us know what tomorrow might bring. And that is why life is so exciting. I call it resting in his presence. My plans are to hear the voice of the Lord as much as possible. And so far, Papa gave me a piece of his heart years ago. Peru.
As we enter into another year, we want to thank you for your hard work and for motivating us to work harder for the Peruvian people. May you abundantly be blessed in 2023.
Thank you. So that building is ours. That's, we bought that building and then we added another floor and redid it. So let's start out with some pictures here and I'll kind of show you what we're doing here. If you could pop those up, Kev. So the most important picture is my dog, okay? So that's, his name is Beano. I don't know if that shows up. I don't know how that O got put down there. But anyway, that's my buddy Beano, and we'll see him on Tuesday night, and I can't wait to see him. But he's a dog from Argentina, actually, a Siberian Husky. But he's my bud. Okay, the next picture here is of my son who runs a day-to-day, and that's my grandson. So I have a grandson down there now, and his name is Jack, and my middle name is actually Jack, and so they named him after me. And so anyway, I'm honored. I love the little guy. He's a handful right now because he learned to walk just a couple months ago. So anyway, but that's my grandson, and that's my Pacho, that's my son Pacho, who does the day-to-day. Both he and Kevin I pulled out of an orphanage when they were 9 and 12 years old. And then San Diego came to live with us years later. San Diego and Kevin are actually blood brothers, and Pacho and Kevin grew up in the orphanage together. So the next picture here, I want to show you. This is the community that we work in, and this is where people live. So I'm going to show you a little bit of where they live at and what their lives are about. So as you can see, it's tough. It's one of the driest places on earth. I never realized that until I moved there, but northern Chile and Peru are the driest places on earth. So it rains 3/10 of an inch of rainfall a year. So it's very dry and dusty down there, as you can see. Now you get up in the Andes and it's a whole different ballgame up there. And of course, on the backside is the Amazon jungle. So this is how they live, a lot of people. And the next picture here is give you some more ideas how, you know, the roofs are, you know, you never worry about water leaking because it doesn't rain, but this is kind of just gives you an idea what the kids are like and what their lives are like. And the next picture here, as you can see on the inside, you can, you know, they can, a cat could crawl through some of those cracks in there, and most of the floors are dirt floors. And so I'm just trying to give you an idea of what the people where they live at, what that we help. So go on there, Kev. These shoes are very common. I think we have a picture a little later on, but I'm very pleased to tell you that Reebok sends me down 500 pairs of shoes every 6 months. And so we're able to give the kids brand new shoes every 6 months. And so I'm really, really proud of that. I think those are Adidas shoes we have in that picture there. But it's an amazing help, as you might imagine. But to me, it's just another tool. It's just another tool to talk about Jesus, you know. So Reebok probably doesn't even know they're doing that. But Kevin, go on. This is our building. It's called Casa de Luz, which means the House of Light. It sits right in the middle of these buildings. We added another floor onto there, and I'll talk about the building a little bit now and what our vision is and what we're going to do. So, Kev, you know when I stop talking. There you go. So the picture on the right is land that we just bought. I'm looking at our building and looking down into it. And that's a, you know, just a mess that we bought, but we're going to build another building, which is on, if you look on the left, the wooden building there, that's where it's at. So all that will be torn down, and we're going to build a 5-story building right next to it. And I'll explain what we're going to be doing here in a second. So go on. So this is our roof. This is the roof of the new building. As you can see, there's nothing grows over there. Oh, there's a picture of my dog again. So it's just a great gathering place. It's even more so now. I have turned that upstairs into a jungle area. so those kids can come. We have a barbecue grill. It's a great place to have classes up there. It's a great place for the kids to hang out before service. They come up and play board games, and it's nice. So it's a wonderful place for them to get to hang out. So the next one, Kev, and this is just kind of shows you. This is a picture of our Little Guys program. And that runs on Saturdays, and we do VBS every Saturday, and we have basically around 250 children. And we have a lot of volunteers. Thank the Lord for that. And so thank the Lord for volunteers. We also feed them a meal, and then on the right-hand side is just a picture of an older gentleman there, but we feed the elderly two meals a day, each day. They get fed two meals a day. We also cut hair. We taught the kids how to cut hair. And so what they do is we have a barbershop in there, but also they're able to get jobs with that, but they're also, we go up into a area there. I don't know, is Todd Steiner here this morning? Are you here, Todd? I don't see him. But anyway, he helps us support this community up there, but it's just one tool that we use that when we go out into any village at all outside of our area, we're able to set up a place to cut hair. Now you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, if you don't have money for a haircut, it's a big deal. So anyway, that's one of the things that we get to do and that we do. So the next one here is my son, Kevin. He just returned from Australia where he did 9 months of SBS YWAM. And if you aren't familiar with that, they basically went through the Bible in 9 months, but it took 10 to 12 hours a day to do that. And so he is teaching, that's my staff right there, and he is teaching the staff what he has learned before he goes on with his life somewhere else. He's teaching our staff every day the knowledge that he learned. You know, I've been a good steward of the Bible all my life, but there are limits I have. And so the Lord provided him to be able to do that for us. So this is a good thing. And he also does it with the volunteers. We also have the girl in the middle and three other kids that are really smart kids, but have no way to go to college except through scholarships. We provide 3 college scholarships over there. And this girl there in the middle, she had actually a scholarship, but she has no money to get to school. So we provide her money every month just to ride the buses back and forth. But I was telling David and Karen last night, now this is just another God thing. So I knew the kids needed help. And I knew that they needed a tool put in their hands where they could do something to make a living to provide for themselves and a future family. But I knew that the classes were going to cost money, and I knew I was going to have to get teachers, and then I was going to have to turn around and get them a job. Well, the few pictures ago, you saw the air conditioners maybe up on top. So we had a guy come over to service our air conditioners, and he said, "Man, I love what you're doing here. Can I send my boss over?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." So he sent his boss over, and this guy is in charge of refrigeration and air conditioning, and he puts big air conditioning on big bank buildings, and he does all of this other things, electricity, on and on. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come over. I'll do Zoom twice a week, and I'll come over on Saturdays and teach the kids and for a 16-week course on refrigeration and electricity, and after 16 weeks, I'll take your best kids, and I'll put them to work." Now, that's just God getting ahead of you, you know? I'm just like, thank you, God. You know, that's one less thing I have to pay for, one less thing I have to do. So this is just God and his goodness. Man's not even a believer. He will be by the time we get done with him. But anyway, we take him outside. We take him swimming to parks, this and that and the other. Not very often, but we do. And, of course, we baptize the kids that are being saved. And so these are just teens that we take out. This is our teen program, as you can see. It's pretty big, and we just love these kids to death. And we see them almost daily, so we're really able to invest into their lives. This is just pictures here I put together of where we take them, from the beaches to the rivers to, they love to play soccer, and take them to the rivers and things like that that flow out of the Andes. So it's just part of the programs we do. We took this orphanage. I'm sharing you this picture here. We took these orphans to a buffet. Now, these are orphan boys here that you're looking at there. And they just like, all they see is food, you know, as far as they can see. And these are hungry boys, you know. And they filled their plate, and this one little boy walked by me, and he said, "Do you think this is what heaven's going to be like?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I do." So, guys, I have one more video to show you, and then I'm wrapped up this morning. I didn't want to just go on and on. But the other building we are building, believe it or not, is for a medical center. I told David last night, I said, you know, I have about as much business building a medical center as I do becoming a doctor. But that's supposed to be funny, because I have no business building a medical center. But I know that's what God put on my heart to do. So this video will explain to you what we're going to do. But we're going to have the first floor a dentist and a doctor's office. The second floor we're going to make our place where we worship twice as big. And then we're going to add a library for the kids to be able to come and study. We'll hire a teacher with computers and so forth to come in there. And the fourth floor, I'm missing a floor. Oh, then one of the floors will be nothing but classrooms. We need classrooms to be teaching these kids. And then one of the floors will be just for volunteers that come in. We have a men and a women's dorm room. We had a lot of teams from Vernon's over in Kona that came in. They brought a team for a month. It was fabulous, from YWAM. And then we had teams from Costa Rica come up and stay with us. And so we're building a place so volunteers can come down. So when you guys come and visit us, you'll have a place to stay there for free. And then the top floor, we're going to build a really nice playground for the kids. So it doesn't show a playground on the top, but why don't you rip into that video, and if I can think of anything else to say, I will. But go ahead and show that last video.
Almost 19 years ago, a powerful story began to unfold in the heart of Peru. It all started with a heartfelt prayer as I sought to make a difference in the lives of children who desperately needed hope and a future. I remember asking the Lord to break my heart for the things that break His heart. Little did I know that this simple prayer would lead me on an incredible path, working, living, and ministering in the slums of Peru. Today, we stand on this land that we now own. While it may appear messy to some, we know that the Lord sees beyond the outward appearance. He sees His kingdom advancing, bringing hope and transformation to those in need. Our programs have had tremendous success, but we are quickly running out of space. That's why we have a bold vision for the future. We aim to build a playground for the children on the rooftop, dormitories for our volunteers, additional classrooms, a library for studying, and a bigger auditorium for gathering and worship. What's most exciting is that we will be opening a doctor's and a dentist office. In these impoverished communities, access to medical care is nearly impossible due to the lack of funds. We aim to change that, bringing much needed health care to those who need it the most.
I once heard Billy Graham say that he would never beg for money for his ministry.
He believed that if he was called, the Lord would provide. I hold on to that same belief. I believe that if we are called to this mission, the Lord is already one step ahead of us, guiding us even in matters of finances. We appreciate you taking the time to hear our message. We humbly ask for your prayers and support as we continue to serve in the challenging slums of Peru. Stand with us, and together, let us advance the kingdom and make a difference in the lives of these resilient children. Together, we can bring hope, love, and through Jesus, a brighter future to the children of Peru.
So, last September, a lot of people didn't know about it, but I suffered through seizures, and I'm very fortunate. I have seizures that are called temporal lobe seizures, which means that you only have them if you're waking up or going to sleep. So it allows me to continue to drive and things like that. And I would have maybe one, two a month, something like that. And about last September, I had one. And if you suffer from seizures, you know that you have auras and you have the sensation and that you're going to get more of them. So I had one, and that night, for whatever reason, they just continued on. Every time I was waking up, I was having a seizure. So the next day, my son and I are getting ready to go down into the desert. We had a nice hotel. We were going to go down there and rest and stay for a couple days. And I was exhausted. As you might imagine, I felt like I was being ran over by a truck about 16 times, and the aura feeling that was still in your stomach. And so we got down there to the hotel, and I'm moping around, and he's enjoying the pool and stuff. And anyway, that night, I'm laying there in bed, and I just told Papa, I just said, Lord, that's what I call the Father now, is Papa. I said, Papa, I have to serve you, and I can't serve you if this is happening to me. I really can't serve you. And I was just crying out to God, because there's no doctors I'm going to go to down there. We're back in the Old Testament days, back living in Peru. You pray and God heals you or he doesn't. And so I felt something change in my body. I felt the aura sensation go away, and I felt energy pour into my body. And I woke up my son, who was in the bed next to me, and I said, Son, I think God just healed me. I'm not for sure, but I think the Lord just healed me of these seizures. And that was last September, and I haven't had one since. And so I'm telling you that to encourage you. It's the only reason I'm telling you that. God is still the God of a healing God and a loving God. He still does the same thing. He still does the miraculous. And so I don't want you to forget that. Don't forget that. And listen, Vernon is going to speak here in a couple weeks, I think, and talk about his mission in the Himalayas. I hope that you've given all your money to missions to me before he speaks. And you better, because after he speaks, you'll go, why did I give my money to that guy in Peru? So anyway, bless him. Bless him. Bless any missionary that comes into your door. We're going to stand outside here, and we're just going to hand out brochures. My boys will. Listen, I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for you to at least pray for us. And we have a spot on our website that you can just sign in there, and we'll send you an email of what we're doing, but it just reminds you to pray for us. We need prayer. We need a lot of prayer working and doing what we do. And so, Vernon, I just bless you when you speak here in a couple weeks. I hope someday to get down there and see you. My next trip, I think Fran talked me into going to India for about 5 weeks. But a couple weeks, but we'll see on that one. But anyway, I would love to especially go down and see you in Kona. So that's his stop off before he goes into the Himalayas. But I just thank you guys. This is my home church. Most of you I don't even know anymore. I've been gone that long. But this is where it all, David went over there and kicked me out the door and said go. So that's where we've been. And so Lord bless you guys. Thank you for your time.
Celebrate the Lord's Supper together. One of the reasons we have our missionaries share is to remind us that God is working all around the world. God's not just working in my life, in my family, in my church, or in my state, but God is working all around the world. And what he's doing all around the world is not just to minister to them, but also to encourage us. And the reason why Larry and we have different people, and Vernon is going to be sharing, and then we have Peter Wigg coming and going to be sharing. The reason why we do that, again, is just to enlarge our vision for what God is doing and to be encouraged that God is working around the world. And so we do that, and God does that because of what he did on the cross for us. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, if you're a Christian and you're part of a local church, you are welcome to participate with us as we celebrate what Jesus did on the cross, which secured for us the hope that our efforts are not in vain, that everything we do for Christ is to advance his cause, to advance his mission, to advance his church, and to advance his kingdom. And so let's take of the body and the blood of Christ today and remember that the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, gave his life for you, gave his life for me. But he gave his life not just for those of us who are Christians. He gave his life to call those who are not Christians to himself. And he calls us to invite and call people to faith in Christ. Whether it's across the table, across the street, the checkout person at Save You More, or the coffee shop, or the gear shed, or even on the river when you're edging someone out for the spot. So let's celebrate what Jesus did for us, giving his body and his blood for us. So if we can have those who are serving communion, come on up. If you would like prayer, we'll have the prayer team over on my left. We have three stations for communion. We have one, two, and then a third one in the back. So let's pray as the worship team plays. You can come up. Father, we just thank you again for Larry, his ministry that he shares with his boys and his team. Lord, I ask that you continue just to bring, Lord, divine appointments, people that have skills and resources, like this guy who's in the heating refrigeration business. Lord, so that they can hear the gospel and that these young men and women who don't have any skills, who've been raised in an orphan, that they would have skills that they can provide for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you're ready, you can come up and take the body and the blood of Christ. Let's close with this benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is already at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in the grace and peace of Christ and in the power of his Spirit.